This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberrywithnoes.com.
Everclear Channel Communications. Listen or else.
Hello, this person you were trying to call. You've reached the Rejection Hotline, provided by rejectionhotline.com and sponsored in part by Get Over It Day, the new national holiday taking place on March 9th. Anyway, the person who gave you this rejection hotline number did not want you to have their real number. We know this sucks, but don't be too devastated. So why were you given a rejection hotline number? Maybe you're just not this person's type. Note, this could mean boring, dumb, annoying, arrogant, or just a general weirdo. Maybe you suffer from bad breath, body odor, or a nasty combination of the two. Maybe you just give off that creepy, overbearing, psycho-stalker vibe. Maybe the idea of going out with you just seems as appealing as playing leapfrog with unicorns. Regardless of the reason, please take the hint. Accept the fact that you were rejected, and then get over it. And please do your best to forget about the person who gave you this number, because trust us, they've already forgotten about you. Thanks for calling the Rejection Hotline, provided by rejectionhotline.com, and sponsored by the new March 9th holiday, Get Over It Day. To watch the Get Over It Day video or to find out about Get Over It Day deals, discounts, and parties in your area, visit getoveritday.com. And if you're still listening, don't worry, it could be much worse. In addition to being rejected, you could have been laughed at, too.
The Unradio Show contains language that is deemed inappropriate for younger listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Farts are so fragile, they're fashioned from gas. Why must we squeeze just to help them to pass? Your farts are so strong, once they break in the air, they're a surefire way for a room to get cleared. But if farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff, they'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They keep their scent, so the smell would be so friendly, they follow your tail. Although we can't see them, they leave quite a trail. Farts aren't colored, they're so hard to find, yet they're so fun to light as they leave your behind. But if farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff, they'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They'd keep their scent, so the smell would be
Radio Show.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If I was a dog, I wouldn't be your best friend. I'd sleep all day while you were working. I'd eat all the food, make you buy more, take a big crap on the kitchen floor. If I was a dog, I'd be my own best friend. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. If it was a dog, I'd stick my nose in your crotch. I'd hump your leg when I was feeling high. I wouldn't have no pickup lines, go straight for your tail every time. Oh, I'd know who was who and who was not. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. If I was a dog, I wouldn't be this way. I'd say what I meant and I'd bark what I'd say. I wouldn't hate life, I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't need Prozac or therapy. I'd be loyal, I'd be true to me, myself, and you know who. If I was a dog. If I was a dog, I'd lick myself down there. Right in the middle of the street, and I wouldn't care. Lick myself in front of you just to watch you wish that you could too. If I was a dog, I'd lick myself down there. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. Ruff, ruff, bow, wow, bark, bark, fuck you. If I was a dog, I wouldn't be your best friend. Sleep all day while you were working. I'd eat all the food, make you buy more, take a big crap on the kitchen floor. If I was a dog, I'd be my own. If I was a dog, I'd lick my bow. If I was a dog, I'd be my own best friend.
Hey, all of you on radio listeners, this is Travis Goss. Well, like I said before, everybody here at the On the Radio Show are taking the next 2 weeks off. So instead of just giving you guys nothing for the next 2 weeks, well, we're going to give you something. This is part one of Worst Misses, a collection of things that happened in the first year of the On the Radio Show. So it'll be a great catch-up for those of you out there who are just now listening to the On the Radio Show. And, well, here's some of the stuff that you might have missed. And here's some stuff that you probably have heard before and you'd like to hear again. So with that said, here's part one of Worst Misses. And we'll see you guys in January 2007. Stay on tune. But to kick things off, here's the very first song that we ever played on the On Radio Show, not counting that really shitty theme song we used to use. This is Jen Scaturo's Broken in All the Right Places.
Thank you.
Man with faulty penile implant gets $400,000.
Whoa.
The Associated Press reported that in Providence, Rhode Island, a former handyman has won more than $400,000 in a lawsuit over a penile implant that gave him a 10-year erection.
Why would you sue? Why wouldn't you say thank you? I mean, hell, the guy's got it all wrong. It's like, thank you guys, this is great. Let me be an example for you. Let me be your spokesman.
Just screw Viagra, man. This is awesome.
That's right. Look at this. I got one shot and I'm there for good. 10 years. Look at me go.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Wardrobe-wise, it might cause you some impact. But other than that, what's the issue? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, Charles Chick Lennon, 68.
That's part of it right there.
Received a steel and plastic implant in 1996, about 2 years before Viagra went on the market. The Dura 2 is designed to allow impotent men to position the penis upward for sex, then lower it. Oh my God. I feel like a teenager back in sex ed class.
But if it's metal, if you reposition it too many times, it's gonna snap. All right, it's like bending a paperclip. After a while, it's gonna break.
There's no such thing as morning wood for this guy if it's all metal.
Metal. If he was such a handyman, he ought to be able to make his own thing.
Anyways, continuing.
Go
on.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. But Lennon could not position his penis downward. He said he could no longer hug people, ride a bike, swim, or wear bathing trunks because of the pain and embarrassment.
Why would there be pain and embarrassment? It'd be more like, hey, look at me.
Oh,
there are people that are happy about that.
Well, yeah.
I can't ride a bike. Why?
Think of all the chicks I can lay. Oh my God.
I mean, it's like, hey, you happy to see me? No, it's just an implant.
He has become a recluse and is uncomfortable being around his grandchildren, his lawyer said. In 2004, a jury awarded him $750,000. A judge called that excessive and reduced it to $400,000. On Friday, the Rhode Island Supreme Court affirmed that winning in a ruling that turned down a procedural matter. Quote, I don't know any man...
Turned down was part of the problem, but go ahead.
I don't know any man... who for any amount of money would want to trade and take my client's life, said Jules D'Alessandro, Lennon's attorney. Quote, he is not a whole person.
I think if I were to have that for 10 years and get $100,000, I'll trade.
For $400,000, you can do it again.
Yeah, that's right. Gee whiz.
Man.
All the commercials and all the stuff, you know, like the Enzyme commercials. Here's Bob with his great new bathing suit that just fell off, you know, and all this stuff. And this guy is fussing about it. Come on.
Okay. I apologize for the excessive laughing in this news reading, but guys.
That's a serious legal matter, and you're not taking it serious at all.
No, I am not. For this.
Yes, dear.
What are you wearing?
Shorts and a t-shirt, baby. What are you wearing?
Not very much at all, actually. It's really hot over here.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah, I pretty much just the sandals.
Theater of the
Excellent.
Okay, that was episode number 24.
Post-roll, let's go.
Too bad she doesn't.
So when do we start?
I don't know, man.
5 minutes ago now.
It's gonna
Is
take
on
a while.
Yet?
It's gonna take a while for me to recover after listening to about Marta's heating
yes.
thing. I mean, jeez.
Heating thing? No, I'm already overheated. And I'm hot already, but we all knew that.
Damn straight.
Except Ken thinks, ew. That's like looking at your sister, right?
What?
Me.
I don't have a sister.
Well, if you had one, it'd probably be me, so it's gross, right?
I don't know about the sister part, but the gross is, yeah.
Oh, gee. Oh. Ouch.
Travis?
Yes?
Moving on.
Okay.
Hi, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, the creator of Shadow Falls at shadowfalls.podshow.com, and you're listening to The Unradio Show with your host, Travis Goss.
In Berlin, Germany, there is a brothel that has become the first to offer special deals for virgins. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So if you're a virgin and you're scared and a little nervous, go to Berlin because you can get a hooker like half price. Fabulous.
What's the name of this place? I gotta write it down.
Oh, shut up, Carla. You're so far from that.
Oh, wow.
But what's the verification process? I know when you go to a bar, you're carded, but for virgin, you know...
Are you, Frank?
No, I'm just wondering, if you go to this place and you say, I'm a virgin, how do they...
Well, it says that the prostitutes are given sensitivity training for first-time clients.
Sensitivity training?
Sensitivity training.
Oh. They need to be aware of how much courage it takes to go to a brothel.
Oh, okay. Very savvy.
Well, maybe if you just turn out to be a two-pump chump, you get a good deal.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, I learned from my years of waitressing, it's all about turnover.
Oh,
turning.
I got some goodies here.
This is interesting. I like this.
Andrea, what is exactly turnover? What does that mean?
If you don't know by now, I ain't gonna help you.
You have to inquire all the listeners, because you don't just coin a phrase and not express the meaning to it. You gotta tell us.
Oh,
yeah, you got
to tell us.
Inquiring
minds want to know
what turnover is when you turn over a table, like. New people sit down, so you earn more money in tips.
Okay.
What about
you know, when you go to a brothel and you say turn over, it has a different connotation.
I don't know. But it's in, Carla, if you really want to know, it is in
she does.
Kreuzberg, the Kreuzberg Red Light District.
I'm there.
And they charge 60...
How much
what?
Time?
What? Oh, they charge 60 euros for half an hour of sex.
Oh.
Not
how
bad.
How much is that in dollars? No, I'm just trying to figure it out.
We want to know. Who's doing the calculations?
I don't know.
Isn't it like double? It's like 120 bucks? American?
It's not bad. I do it.
Sexy, hot.
U.S. jury has sentenced an Oklahoma judge to 1 year in prison for using a penis pump on the bench during three murder trials and a civil case in 2002 and 2003.
How could you do that with a straight face?
Oh my God. Donald D. Thompson, 59, was convicted Thursday and fined $10,000 for each count, or maybe in this case, each pump.
Yeah, that's a wow. Okay, go ahead.
Thompson told the jury he would also lose his $90,000 a year pension.
Whoa.
The verdict, which exposed the judge's behind-the-bench secrets...
Exposed.
...capped a bizarre and awkward chapter in the state's judicial history.
Wow. Yeah, you think?
Oh, jeez. Thompson's...
Kenneth? Kenneth, would you like to feel this?
Yay. A feel? No.
No, no.
Because you know that Kenneth used to be a judge.
Yes, I used to be a judge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. The Marshall Islands, I was a judge in the community court system, yes.
Rock on, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay. Thompson's longtime court reporter, Lisa Foster, went on the stand. She wept on the stand as she recalled how she discovered the source of a sound in the courtroom. She said she spied Thompson's penis inside the pump through a small gap between a drawer and a door.
Oh, that's just nasty.
Foster said she later saw Thompson's penis 15 to 20 times over the course of 3 years.
And you didn't say something in the beginning? Okay. Maybe I would have said, yo, he's disturbed, get him out of here.
She also saw him shave his scrotum and urinate into a trash can behind the bench.
How could he do all this in front of people and nobody but her sees it? And she doesn't know anything.
It's Oklahoma. What do you expect?
What, the Southern manners?
I don't know. I'm just trying to digest this story because this is the first time I'm reading this.
Gives a whole new meaning to pound the gavel, doesn't it?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Here we go. The defense maintained that the charges were part of a vendetta by local police to overthrow Thompson. The judge denied ever using the pump, a device used in the hope of enlarging the penis or combating erectile dysfunction, saying it was a joke gift from his best friend in 2001.
Honestly, it's not mine.
He said he moved the pump back and forth between his bench and chambers before never using it on his penis. But never using it on his penis.
What about the witness, Joe?
Oh, jeez. Any more thoughts? Oh, my God.
I have more than you can imagine, but I don't know if they're... Wow.
I was just thinking, you know, like the meaning of, you know, the prosecution rests and the judge says, me too.
Oh, man.
I wonder if he has any of those Bounty paper towels back there.
I'm going to do something here in just a second that's going to be a little different. So,
all right.
While you're multitasking, Kenneth,
okay.
Could you even remotely give us any insight how somebody could do that with a straight face and not... Nobody would know what the hell they were doing.
You're asking the guy or are you asking the judge? I don't know. Hold on just a second, guys.
I'm asking the guy, judge.
Hi, how are you good? I'm doing good. How are you? I'd like to get a number 8 with...
Oh, my God.
Number 8 with crunchy tacos, no lettuce, and a Diet Pepsi to drink.
You don't get something for yourself without sharing with others, Kenneth.
No, thanks.
Where are you?
Thank you. I'm at Taco Bell.
How much I love Taco Bell.
Yeah, man. Show your brother some love here, man. Give me a burrito.
Oh, you're such a bitch.
Like the grill stuff burrito with the chicken,
man. That was the closest place to go and eat.
Oh, yeah, I love the grilled stuffed burrito. Get guacamole?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Those chalupas are good, though.
Aren't they?
There's your podcast first.
I used to work.
Shut up, Kenneth. You used to work where?
I used to work over at KFC Taco Bell here in town.
Oh, I love how they combine them, because we're not going to notice the taste difference, and everything now tastes the same. What? KFC, it's usually, well, in Washington and Oregon, they put KFC, A&W, and something else. What's the third thing they put together, Kenneth?
Pizza Hut?
Yes.
Well, it's part of the same franchise, yeah.
Yeah,
it's all the same company, rather. It all tastes the same.
I don't know. I hate the thought of having a piece of breast skin on my pizza. I hate the thought of that.
Yeah, give me the barbecue wing pizza, but please leave out the bones.
Watch out. Oh, don't forget to like probably the mashed potatoes and gravy all over my macaroni and cheese.
Hey, on my pizza. Window here, I'll have you know.
Oh, jeez.
Are you paying cash or debit?
I'm paying cash.
Okay, so it won't take so long.
Yeah, it's going to be quick. The person in front of me keeps looking in the mirror like I'm some kind of nutcase.
Yeah. Let's talk really loud, then.
I got it in my ear. I don't know if they can hear you, but they can hear me.
You got an earbud? What do you got? Are you wearing an earbud?
Yeah, I have one earbud in so I don't break the law and have my both ears covered up.
Yeah, because that is against the law.
Hi there, how are you?
So, well, Kenneth is talking.
I'd like some hot sauce, please.
Never mind. We'll never talk over him.
Go ahead. I'm yelling in the window. That's fine.
This is definitely a podcast first. I'm so happy it happened on my show.
Hey, this is Brian and Andrea from the Out of Order Show, and you're listening to the Unradio Show.
The only show on the unair where your host can pull his nuts up to his belly button.
Ew. He can pull his nuts up to his belly button?
He can. He posted a picture.
Ew.
We'll be right back.
911. Do you need fire, medical, or police?
No, ma'am, I don't. I don't have an emergency. Two police officers just left my house just now. Third. Can I get their names, please?
Was it...
Just the music turned down. He was the cutest cop I've seen in God knows how long. I just don't know his name. Sorry, I know it's not an emergency, but heck. It doesn't come very often a good-looking man comes at your doorstep. Could you throw him back my way?
Do you need him to come back there?
Oh, I'd like that, yeah.
Why do you need him to come back there?
Because I have an emergency. I'll think of something. He's cute. Would you throw him back? I think they're partners. Throw him back my way, would you?
Okay, and what is the reason?
My dog. Just blame it on my dog. No,
your
say
dog?
The music was too loud. They came in the first place because the neighbors, lived here for over 15 years, they've got a lot of nerve, these neighbors. My music was too loud. Can I discuss that with them?
You need to talk about the noise complaint as well?
Exactly.
Hold on just a moment.
Thank you.
Yay. He's a cutie pie.
And who is having the loud noise?
I guess I'm the one who had the loud noise. The officer has come to my house. Just music. It worked out the loud music.
Okay, and ma'am, what do you need the officers to do? I mean, if you have another noise complaint?
I guess so.
Okay, and where is the noise?
Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought it was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again. But I don't know how to go about doing that without calling 911. I know this is not absolutely in a way, shape, or form an emergency. But if you would give the officers my phone number and ask them to come back, other than I know they have terrible lots of things to do in Aloha, would you mind?
I'll give them the message to call you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
is Billy Bob from Billy Bob's Funeral Home and Billy Bob's Steakhouse. It's steak-alicious. And now it is time for another installment of Great Hillbilly Moments with George W. Bush.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
This has been Great Hillbilly Moments with George W. Bush.
It's just going to be really sweet. I'm so amazed because we've got Marty here and it's going to be great. And what the fuck is that? Oh, dude, you're dropping me out. Oh, shit. The door's not going to hold.
Travis? I'm gonna kill you, and if you don't wash stupid socks and your fucking shoes so I don't choke to death in your closet.
And fuck.
Besides
I gotta
that,
hide.
I've run out of whiskey. Don't you hide from me, you bastard.
Okay. Here's your Irish cream. Now sit down and do this damn show. And
you
that
better.
Was it.
And I expect a new one.
Yes.
Okay, so when we first got there, Ken, of course, was having a field day as usual, making sure to yell to Ava and wave to her, and she'd skate by, and I would look the other way doing something.
And she brought us voodoo donuts.
And I wouldn't look. I had my back to her. I was doing something with my phone.
Voodoo donuts.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, you were just...
Look away.
So, I know. You just say the name, and I would instantly avert, look down. No eye contact. I didn't know it! Well, it turns out that she's not with that significant other anymore. And as the evening wore on, we saw that she was with someone else who was actually kind of cute and kept making eye contact with me, which is a whole nother story.
Oh, God. Here we go.
And so when DJ wanted to go over and take pictures, it was when the Bettys had already skated their match. I'd gone over and talked with Dora before she sat down, and then I can't remember why we were going to go over by the Betty's for something, but I got up before DJ, and I'd only taken a couple steps, and Ava was sitting in the back of the Betty section, which is on the floor, and then it's the aisle, and then the bleachers. And she saw me walking towards her, and she gave me a big smile and waved and got up, because they sit there on their knees with their skates on. And she came over to me, and she said, she was apologizing as she came towards me, saying that she thought I was somebody else and feels terrible, that she would love to have me as a MySpace friend. And she gave me a big hug, and DJ came up behind me, and I'm like, I'm in heaven now. And,
I'm just, I have no words.
This actress plays the main character and narrator of Shadow Falls, and the character's name is Molly, and the actress is Kappa Victoria Wood, or Woods, excuse me.
Just one tree, not the whole forest. So.
Yeah. There you go. So how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well. So.
That's great.
This is all pretty exciting for us, as far as the Shadow Falls and everything, and so it's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Yeah, I've been a fan since the first episode, and I'm really excited with all the great things that are coming about with the show. I mean, right now, you just came out with episode 4, and right now we're just getting like a bit of a backstory as to what is going to eventually happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Although you think that you know, and then there's going to be another twist and turn, to say the least, later on. So.
Those writers like Mark Yoshimoto Nepkov. Man, I don't know where he comes up with these ideas, but that is some crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It sort of reminded me of Twin Peaks a little bit.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, I know, I did too, and so it's kind of that same sort of feel to it, and without the random Lynch, you know, symbols that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, when I was listening to episode 4, I mean. God, I'm not going to give anything away to any of the listeners who haven't yet experienced this wonderful podcast, but man, episode 4 really grabbed me by the throat, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it. I think that was my favorite of what we recorded so far.
Yeah, because it's all about you. I mean, all about Molly.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, well, let's just dive right into this. How long have you been acting?
Oh, as far as acting goes, I've been doing it since 99. I was living in Little Rock, Arkansas for a while doing dinner theater. And I'm originally from Orange County, which is just south of Los Angeles. And, was doing well with the dinner theater in Little Rock, and that was all fine and good, but I decided to make the move over to LA because that's where most of the industry people are, and you know, it's just sort of a an evil that is necessary. So I made the move out here 2 years ago, and have been trying to find work ever since. So,
well, that's great. What got you into acting?
I think it's something that I've always wanted to do, but you know, parents kind of panic when they hear that their kids want to do acting, so. They led me with good intentions to other fields of interest and all that, and got into college, and civil engineering was great, but I just couldn't see myself doing it for the rest of my life, and kind of switched over to the theater department there and studied costume design because that was more palatable for my parents, and once I had moved out, graduated, and all that good stuff, and I was on my own making my own money, I said, well, ha-ha on you, I'm going to try acting. And like I said, was doing the dinner theater, and that really got my feet wet doing that. And then I loved it and loved it and loved it and got the proverbial acting bug. And the rest is history. So.
Have you done any studying for acting? And if you did, where'd you go?
I went to University of California, Irvine, again in Orange County, so I could live at home with the parents and save money. And even though I studied costume design while I was there, part of their program requires that everybody in the drama department take acting classes. So I had taken some fundamental classes there. I've taken some film acting classes since I've been here in Los Angeles, and the rest has been trial by fire, just kind of... asking more seasoned actors for advice or just listening to how they learned and reading what I can about it. But really, trial by fire in life is probably where I've learned the most of what I've been able to apply to acting.
Yeah. And what was your first role that you can remember?
Oh, my first role, goodness. That would probably go back to community theater. I played Gertie in the musical Oklahoma, which nobody ever remembers Gertie. She's got all of 2 pages worth of a scene that she's on stage for. But she's a great role. She's got an atrocious laugh, and that's what she's known for. But anyway, so yeah, I had to invent a laugh for that, which I don't remember how I did it now. But anyway, that was my first role, and that's where I really was able to really start the acting career, as it were.
Now, in terms of Shadow Falls, how did you get the role of Molly?
Oh, well, Matt Johnson, the director, who's an absolutely wonderful director, by the way, doesn't get nearly enough credit for what he's done for the show. He and I had done a project together a little over a year ago, and it was as a background role in a short film that he did, and so I gave him my headshot, like most actors do, I should say. And he just likes to keep files of talented people. And when it came time to do this, he had asked me and asked several other people who were not a part of his radio show, which is a whole other story, if I was interested. And I said, well, sure. And so me and Biz Urban, who plays Vienna, just met with Matt Johnson and James Napoli, who also helped tweak the script, and he's also an actor in it. And we had met, and just like a typical audition, just read the roles, and they discussed, and they decided, and they said, okay, great. They really wanted a young-sounding voice, but they didn't want somebody who was actually 15 or 16 years old, because then you get into labor laws and waivers, and it just, it makes things very difficult. So I was just lucky enough to have a young-sounding voice, and there we go.
When you go to do a scene in the show, how do you prepare yourself for it? What gets you motivated?
Well, again, this is under Matt Johnson's direction. With respect to Shadow Falls, because, of course, every project is different, with Shadow Falls, it was very key to know where I was as far as what my awareness was, because as you and I both know, there's secrets that are revealed that we don't want to reveal now so we spoil it for someone, but just knowing where I was in that regard, and just getting the direction of constantly, it's like I'm kind of scared, but I'm kind of in awe of what's going on, and I have, because I don't know where I am, but, and I don't know why I am where I am, wherever that is. And so it was just keeping all these things in my mind of just that air of mystery and, I don't know what's happening next. The audience sure surely doesn't know what's happening next. So keeping that sort of, that darkness, because I tend to be a very bright person normally, and so I just had to remember to keep it dark and mysterious, and so that's sort of how I approached it.
How do you best describe Molly?
Oh, wow. I think Molly, even though she's kind of young, and I say kind of young, she's 15, is still very wise, even though she's confused and doesn't know where she is and why things are happening. Still very smart and astute, completely observant, which I realize kind of makes her very good for being a narrator. But good-hearted, a girl that doesn't really belong in some place as dark as Shadow Falls is. So I think she's sort of an unwilling victim in that regard, but very smart. And I think, I, as Molly, I really want to see things happen to my mother and the people that I perceive as being good. And that's one of the tricks of Shadow Falls, is that, you don't really know who's good or bad, quote unquote. Even though I may think that somebody's good, that doesn't make it so.
And how often do you interact with the other performers of the show?
Because we had six episodes, the first six episodes, which will eventually all of them, of course, will be put on the net. We had all six scripts at once, and we met for a few rehearsals so that we could read through them and then get notes before we had the record date. And then we had 3 days worth of recording, so we did 2 episodes a day. And
What was that?
We recorded 2 episodes each record day. Now, that doesn't mean that we met for 3 days in a row and recorded them. They were a little bit farther apart than that. But that was pretty much the interaction that we all had as a whole group. But some of the people have subsequently become my friends, and so I've hung out with them on a social level, that sort of thing. But as far as the work goes, we haven't had a whole lot of time together just as a group, even with the work.
And how often are the episodes recorded? I mean, you might have already answered that somewhat, but how often are they recorded? Like, what goes what's the process like for recording a show?
Okay. Well, from my standpoint, being an actor, when the scripts are ready, we'll get the scripts and we'll get together and rehearse them. Usually just a few hours in a night. I say a few hours, probably like 4 or 5 hours to read through them and really get notes and make sure that we're hitting certain points and making sure that that we're all playing it clearly so that the audience listening can get a good idea of what's going on and get the right, notes, so to speak, that we're trying to hit. And as far as the actual recording process, we got faster. The first episode took several hours. We went through it several times. But I feel like by the time we got to episode 6, which is the last one that we've recorded, that we sailed through it because we're all finding and becoming much more comfortable with our characters. You don't have to search as much for the, emotion or how would Molly play this. So I think as a result we've become faster, and if hopefully we can get picked up and more episodes be produced, then again it'll be like riding a bike and we just go in and, in 2 hours have our part recorded. Now, of course, there's a lot of work that's done before as far as writing the script and tweaking it and making sure that it makes sense and it's coherent. And then, of course, afterwards, the post-production with, which takes do the editors want to use and where the sound effects go on the music and all that. So I feel a little bit like I have such a small part to do with it because I go in and I read some words, and then, the rest of the work is done by somebody else. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, it did. It was a very broad question. Actually, with that, you actually eliminated another question I was going to ask, was when do you receive new scripts? But you just said that you already had the first 6 scripts done.
Yeah, they were already done because I guess the way it was worked is instead of doing a single pilot, they had the 6 episodes done. Which is great for us because it meant, more material that we can put out there. We can get more people, hyped about it. Gave us more time to get the word out. And so if you haven't heard of it until now, you can go back and you can catch up and it's all good. So.
Yeah. What makes Shadow Fall so exciting?
Well, I love it because it's really taking advantage of the new medium of this podcasting, these pod shows on the internet, which actors unions still are trying to figure out how they're going to deal with making contracts and making sure that union actors are protected. It's kind of bringing back the old radio dramas, before television really hit as big as it did, the family or the kids sitting around the radio and looking forward to their favorite program. I mean, it kind of brings that back. So it's sort of like a little of the old in that sense and a little of the new in the regard that these are new scripts. These aren't just old scripts that somebody decided to redo. So it makes it really, really exciting in that regard. And of course, the internet. I mean, we can have people in Australia and Japan and just wherever listen to something that we did in a little recording studio in Southern California. So I know in that regard, just the reach is just awesome too.
And one last question here. Without giving much away, what can we expect from the next few episodes?
Oh, gosh. That's such a loaded question because I feel like even just a little hint of something may give too much away. And just expect definitely more mystery. You know, it's one of those shows where you think you know, you think you have it figured out, you think you've got it nailed down as far as, you know, okay, who's working for what team, and you really don't. So I think that's all I could say. I don't trust myself to say too much because I don't want to give anything away. But
that's fine.
More surprises and more turns.
Well, that's fine because I didn't want you to give anything away because I didn't want you to let any of the listeners know who haven't listened to the show yet, didn't want you to tell them what exactly has happened so far. So it's great for them to have this little bit of an insight as to what has been going on so far and what it's like making the show.
Right, yeah, I know. I've been coaching myself all day long. I was like, okay, now don't talk about what's already happened because somebody may not have listened to it yet.
And that's why I designed these questions, so that way I wouldn't try to reveal anything in the storyline.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I try to ease attention as much as I can.
Very good.
All right. Okay, well, Kappa, thank you very much. And where can we find the show at?
You can go to your favorite computer, and it's at shadowfalls.podshow.com. Spelled, you know, all one word, of course. Or you can just go to podshow.com, which is a great website, tons of great shows. Last time I logged on, we're listed under the top 11 listened shows, which is fabulous.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So if we can just tell the people with money that make them believe, that's what really counts at this point. So more listeners, the better.
Exactly. Well, Kappa, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm glad you're helping us get the word out.
Hey, I do whatever I can because I'm a fan of the show, and it's getting really exciting.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm glad you like it.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
All right, take care.
provided for this episode came from PodSafe Music Network and PodSafeAudio.com. This concludes part one of this episode of The Un Radio Show. Part two coming soon.